Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Coming up later in the show, he's well beyond Beethoven's Fair Elisa, which you're hearing in the background, but Jean-Yves Thibaudet, the classical pianist, will join us to talk about his new record that takes a new instrumental look at opera. But first, hip-hop. It always seems to come with controversy, even when it comes with a little Beethoven, as you're hearing in this Nas track. Yesterday, we talked about the new movement that's trying to get rid of sexist language in the music, and we also talked about graffiti art and crime. Now, on the second and final part of our series, on the contradictory face of hip-hop, we go from the back alley and the schoolyard into the classroom. If knowledge is the key, then just show me the lock, rapped Q-Tip. And some teachers have begun using hip-hop to present knowledge in order to help urban students unlock future opportunities. We'll start today with Marcella Runel from the Hip-Hop Association. She is co-creator of the Hip-Hop Education Guidebook, Volume 1. Marcella, hip-hop in the classroom, why now? Is there any? This has been in the works presumably for a while. Why now?
Well, I think why now is a great question, but it's been happening. I mean, it's been going on in the classrooms as far back as I know, since the 80s, probably since the inception of hip hop. Educators who have listened to hip hop, participated in the culture, have found ways to use it with students. The only thing that we did that was innovative from our perspective was we took a collection of the lesson plans, what was working, what people were doing, and we put it together in a book so that we could say, here's some resources if this is something that you're interested in doing in your classroom.
So when you say that people have been doing this, you know, going back to the 80s, it's been on a kind of ad hoc basis, you know, a teacher here or a teacher there hears something in a song that they feel they can bring to the kids that's relevant and useful. Your idea with the Hip Hop Education Guidebook is to give people, as you say, some kind of concrete resources that can be across, you know, educational districts and school districts and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Is that it?
Absolutely. We're in a different time right now. I mean, No Child Left Behind has created a major change in the educational climate. So where standards referenced, you know, is so important. And so the guidebook is also aiming to legitimize teachers who are doing this by giving standards that speak the language of No Child Left Behind and testing.
Now, talking about speaking the language, just, you know, looking through the guidebook, what struck me was, you know, we spent a lot of the broadcast day here yesterday talking about, you know, the use of certain epithets in rap music. And Russell Simmons was on our air yesterday talking about his attempt to try and get that kind of language excised from modern hip-hop. You open this book and it's all there. Plus all the other language that you're not allowed to use on the radio. I mean, this is the real, raw language. What kind of reaction are you getting when you bring this kind of stuff into a classroom?
Well, I think in fairness, of course, the language is there whether we bring it in or not, right? So it doesn't help to pretend that it's not there. And also with the book, I think that we tried where appropriate to give alternate language. But some of the lessons that the teachers wrote are lessons that they've actually used that interrogate some of the more difficult issues in society around race and around class and around sexism, where there may be language that is offensive. But our impression of the guidebook is not that it's filled with the raunchy language or that it's anything that we need to be fearful about taking on. I mean, these are predominantly high school lessons. And so from that perspective, I think it's okay.
All right. Now, we're speaking with Marcella Runel, who's one of the co-creators of the Hip Hop Education Guidebook. Volume 1 covers everything from mathematics to athletics, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, breakdancing and stuff like that. Can you explain to us the lesson on page 111 that uses the song by J.Ru the Damager? It's called You Can't Stop the Prophet. You know what? Let's hear a little bit of the song, and then you can tell us what the lesson associated with it is.
I leap over lies in a single pound. The black prophet. prophet. One day I got struck by knowledge of self. It gave me super scientific powers. Now I run through the ghetto, battling my arch nemesis, Mr. Ignorance. He's been trying to take me out since the days of my youth. He feared this day will come. I'm hot on his trail, but sometimes he slips away because he has an army. They always give me trouble, mainly hatred, jealousy, and envy. They attack me. They think they got me. But I use my super science and I twist all three. I see sparks over that building. They're shooting at me. I dip, do a backflip. Then I hit them in the heart with sharp steel bookmarks. Ignorance hates when I drop it. But no matter what he do, he can't stop the prophet.
You Can't Stop the Prophet by J.Ru the Damager. And Marcella, there's a lesson associated with this song in the guidebook.
Well, one of the easiest places that hip-hop entered the classroom was through language arts. You know, because hip-hop is poetry and because language arts was a natural place to start the conversation. So Andrew Landers, the teacher, who's a New York City public school teacher, he's also part of the Hip-Hop Association, he wrote this lesson. And I think the lesson is brilliant. I mean, I love it. I think it's creative. I mean, he's really talking about looking at ignorance as a concept and then deconstructing that. And what penalty do we all pay for being ignorant? I mean, that's really where he's getting the students to think about that critically. So it's a good song, and it gets at that message, but it's also a strong language arts lesson.
And it's a song in which J.Ru the Damager takes on his superhero persona to battle ignorance.
Right.
And it has a kind of cliffhanger ending. And so part of the lesson is the kids have to finish the story.
Right.
So it becomes not only language arts, but creative writing as well.
Which is creative, right? I mean, think about it. He says in there, my arch nemesis is Mr. Ignorance. Isn't that what we're trying to get students to think about in a way that makes sense and that's creative?
All right. Marcella Runel is from the Hip Hop Association and is co-creator of the Hip Hop Education Guidebook. And also joining us is David Kirkland, who's assistant professor of English education at NYU. And he uses hip-hop in his classes, actually wrote the foreword to this book. David, you write, and I'll quote you here, you can learn just as much about language and literature from reading Tupac as you can from Shakespeare. Really?
Yeah, you can. If we think about it, the perennial themes that are present inside of canonical literature are all present inside of hip-hop, from death to birth, love and hate. You know, hip-hop artists write about, comment on these themes in ways that, let's say, Shakespeare wrote about and commented on these themes. Not only that, if we look at literary devices like alliteration or rhyme, assonance, all of these devices are present inside of hip-hop lyrics. And so if we want students to look at text in any kind of interesting way and we want to connect text to students' lives, it seems to me that hip-hop is one option that we can no longer overlook.
So if you want to get people thinking critically about language, maybe you give them language that they can understand as opposed to language that's 400 years old?
Yeah. And not only that, there's a politics to the canon, too, because when you're reading Shakespeare and you're reading Shakespeare in isolation, divorced from, you know, the contemporary texts that represent our students' experiences, you know, it's kind of imposition, cultural imposition of certain things. So not only are you reading, you know, beautiful thought and commentary on society, you're reading that the only people that can say things that are beautiful, that are thoughtful about society are white men. And that's egregious to a certain population of our students.
All right. Let's hear a little bit from Tupac Shakur. And then maybe you can tell us a little bit about the value of verses like this from the song called Me Against the World.
The question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this suppression? They punish the people that's asking questions and those that possess. Still from the ones without possessions, the message I stress. To make it stop, study your lessons, don't settle for less. Even the genius asks questions, be grateful for blessings. Don't ever change, keep your essence. The power is in the people and politics we address. Always do your best, don't let the pressure make you panic. And when you get stranded and things don't go the way you planned it, dreaming of riches, in a position of making a difference. Politicians and hypocrites, they don't want to listen. If I'm insane, it's the fame made a brother change. It wasn't nothing like the game, it's just me against the world.
Me against the world.
Me Against the World is from Tupac Shakur. His poetry is being taught, David Kirkland, in a couple of universities out on the West Coast, you know, as poetry, as part of a continuum of poetry. Where does the, I mean, is this, do you see this as part of a continuum from Shakespeare, you know, through to the contemporary urban American experience?
It certainly is. When we think about, you know, literature, and we think about the time that Shakespeare came in, Shakespeare was probably a rogue playwright and poet who wasn't necessarily accepted by the dominant culture. His work was very much popular culture, just like Tupac is popular culture. And now today we celebrate it as, you know, some of the greatest work in literature ever done. If we think about the messages in Tupac's writing, the poetry, if you will, its complexity, its vibrance, you know, it talks about the world in a way that we want our students to, you know, examine and look at the world in. So, for instance, in the song you just heard, Me Against the World, it's examining, you know, a certain, you know, struggle, you know, not only an identity struggle, but, you know, a struggle that has roots in, you know, class and social justice. And these things, in order to illuminate, you know, our humanity, you know, need to be talked about with our students.
And so it's not just that you can bring in any old hip hop. You need to find the particular artists and the particular songs that have things that have that kind of literary quality.
Of course. And the problem is this. You know, when we think about text, when we think about literature, teachers don't bring in just any old literature. You know, they're selective. And we need to be selective with, you know, the rap lyrics we bring into the classroom, especially in our students, I'm sorry, are selective about the rap lyrics that they listen to. Mm-hmm. They have categories. They know what's good and they know what's bad.
Well, now, David, your students, I mean, you teach English education at NYU. So you've got a bunch of aspiring English teachers in the classroom.
Yes.
Is it your hope that that some of these kids will become teachers and will take something like the Hip Hop Education Guidebook to their classrooms and use it with their kids?
It is. I believe that in order to make connections with youth, especially urban youth who are failing, you know, we need to recognize the text that they are already familiar with. And when we begin to make those connections, we can help them to, you know, foster critical thinking skills. Not only that, we can get them to look deeply at texts. We can encourage them and engage them in reading practices and other kinds of literacy and thought practices.
All right, now, that all sounds great. But, you know, what about your colleagues who maybe take a gander at this guidebook, see a few F-bombs, a few, you know, some what we might call salty language and say, what are you doing in that class of yours?
Yeah. And I'm sensitive to that. But I would ask my colleagues to take a look at Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger, and take a look at the F-bombs that's in there and other literature, you know, that we have accepted and appropriated. And I would ask them to make a distinction, you know, why, you know, is profanity allowed in certain forms of media? And when it comes to hip hop, it's heavily critiqued.
Marcella, let me come back to you. Marcella Runell is one of the co-creators of the Hip Hop Education Guidebook. What I know the thing is just recently out. What has the initial response been in academic circles? Has it been suspicious? Has it been all embracing? Is it a mix of the two?
Well, from what I can tell, it's been fairly all embracing. I mean, I haven't gotten any negative feedback except that people wish that we had done it sooner and they wish that we had training to go along with it and we had the resources to really get out there and have people interacting with the material and figuring out how to implement it in their classroom. So any critiques have been really from the side of we want more now, we want more yesterday. But yeah, I'm getting my doctorate in social justice education. So academic circles are circles that I also travel in. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have gotten positive feedback from colleagues.
All right. Now, David, you're at NYU now, but you came here from Michigan State University.
Yes.
Outside of New York. Is there an irony at work here? I mean, are you seeing more of this stuff outside of the birthplace of hip hop than here in New York?
Well, I think it's a trend, you know, not only in the United States, but it's a trend, you know, internationally. You know, people are looking for ways to affect disaffected youth. They're looking for ways to connect with youth. And one way that we're doing it is by looking at the culture of our youth, the pop culture of our youth, and connecting that to the classroom, again, in ways that make sense to our students and in ways that can educate, get our students to think, you know, critically about text in the world.
I mean, we've we've talked a lot in a lot of different contexts over the years about, you know, what's broken about our educational system, not just in New York, around the country. Can hip hop fix that? Isn't that an awful lot to place on a musical style?
Well, we're not looking for hip hop to fix education. Hip hop comments richly on society. You know, one comment that I want to make is that, you know, if Shakespeare was looking at his world and writing about it, responding to that world, you know, in ways that provided us rich human experience, and hip hop does the same thing. My question is, why haven't we been looking at using hip hop in classrooms all along? It's literature and it's essay, it's social commentary. There's a lot that's in it that's educable, and not only for our urban youth, but all youth throughout our nation. It's important, you know, really to make that point. This is rich, valuable material that we should be studying.
Marcella, were there any artists, you know, from the hip-hop community who took part in the creation of this hip-hop education guidebook?
Not specifically that I can think of, although you can find in the lessons references to artists where teachers were able to interview artists and they participated in those interviews, and those interviews are used as text in the lesson plans. We certainly got lots of artist endorsements, people that, you know, reached out to us to let us know that they were supportive and happy.
Mos Def and Talib Kweli are two of the
absolutely.
The
well, they have a long history of supporting education and supporting community-based education. And Talib's mom is a professor, Dr. Brenda Green, and so she was on board with this from the beginning and has always supported all of us, anybody who's been doing this work. So
when you say all of us, you mean the Hip Hop Association?
Well, I mean other educators who are using hip hop and people representing the community who, as I said, this has been going on for a long time. So it's important that I don't give the impression in 2007 that we invented this or that, you know,
right,
we're taking credit for it.
Okay. But Marcella Runel is the co-creator of the Hip Hop Education Guidebook, Volume 1. We're also speaking with Dr. David Kirkland, Assistant Professor of English Education at NYU. And when we return from a quick break, we'll have more with them, and we want to hear from you, your feelings about hip-hop and education. Is this the innovation that we need in our schools? How do you think your kids would react to something like this? And if there are any teachers or perhaps future teachers listening, do you feel this is a tool that you would want to use and would be allowed to use? The number is 212-264-7483, 212-264-7483, and of course you can email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org.
Yo, Chris, what you doing out of school?
Yo, man, they just suspended me, McBoo.
Word, they suspended the teacher?
Yeah, man, I'm getting so sick of this, man. They teaching us about nothing, man. You know what the bottom line is for black people out here? It's quite simple. You must learn.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The classical pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet makes a return appearance in our studio in just a bit. In the background, You Must Learn from Boogie Down Productions. This is a song from 1989. It began to question the content of education taught to African-American kids. Now, 18 years later, there is still a want and a need to change the curriculum being taught to youth, especially in the inner city and urban areas. We are talking with Marcella Runel. She's co-creator of the Hip Hop Education Guidebook, Volume 1, and Dr. David E. Kirkland, Assistant Professor of English Education at NYU. And we're taking your calls about the idea of hip-hop as an educational tool for teachers, something you feel that you might want to use, be allowed to use. For parents, what would you think if your kid came home with, you know, the hip-hop education guidebook as part of the curriculum? Marcella, before we take calls, the majority of teachers in America are still women. Mainstream hip-hop, as we've been hearing relentlessly in the past week or two, has, you know, a kind of misogynistic bent, at least some of it, in the lyrics. How do you deal with this in the guidebook?
Well, first, let me clarify. The irony of that is that there's also many studies that have shown the vast majority of people who purchase hip-hop are not only white, but also young women. So there is something to be said. Yes, the teachers are mostly white, middle-class women, and that's not so different than people who purchase hip-hop. And I'm not suggesting that correlation needs to be the emphasis of this conversation, but it is important in terms of entertainment value, what people are listening to versus their politics.
But David, it's something you need to be aware of if you're using hip-hop in your classroom and you're teaching the next generation of English teachers.
That's true. But one thing that I do want to say is that the teaching of hip-hop isn't the celebration of hip-hop, and it certainly isn't equivalent with the condemnation of hip-hop. You know, we bring it into the classroom for critique so we can begin to learn lessons about how to help people to become better people, better contributors inside of our multicultural democracy.
So actually maybe it's that kind of language in its raw, unadulterated form could be a useful tool?
It can be a useful tool in critiquing, you know, society. Now, misogyny doesn't begin or end with hip-hop. Misogyny within American society, you know, is woven in all of its popular culture and even its high culture. If we look at some of the literature, Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, we can think about, you know, just this notion of taming a woman, and we don't want to go into what shrew might have meant, you know, as being extremely misogynistic too. So let's not blame hip-hop, you know, for, you know, human issues and the perennial themes of our humanity.
All right, let's take some calls and see what our Soundcheck listeners have to say. We'll begin in Westchester with Jill. Jill, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
Are you a teacher yourself?
I'm actually a student teacher. Mm-hmm. And I just started teaching this semester seniors in a school in Upper Manhattan.
And what about, do you use hip-hop? Have you heard it used in the class?
Well, it's funny because I just started this unit on Hamlet, and I was so nervous because it's so hard to get these guys to read. And I just came up with the idea, you know, maybe I'll start looking at lyrics. And now after researching and, of course, listening to your show, there is material out there. And I tried it with the kids last week where I compared Shakespeare sonnets to certain lines by Kanye West and different other people. And they loved it. They really loved it. So we were talking about themes. We talked about literary devices. And we were really looking at, you know, the language as a way to sort of analyze the world.
Very nice. All right, Jill, thanks. David, I know you need to run out, but it sounds like Jill is going down the kind of path that you're showing to your students at NYU.
Yeah, I think Jill is right. I think one way to look at hip-hop is a way to connect to other forms of text. There's this intertextual, you know, relationship that you can use hip-hop to scaffold, if you will, to more canonical texts. But hip-hop is viable in its own right, and you don't have to necessarily use it, you know, as a way up to Shakespeare. You know, really the deep thinking and the deep criticism that we can do, you know, from hip-hop lyrics and other kinds of hip-hop texts, you know, can help our students think in very much enlightening ways.
All right, David Kirkland is Assistant Professor of English Education at NYU, and we don't have to go back to 1989 and Boogie Down Productions to find hip-hop that refers to education. Just a few years back, Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill was the name of the record. Now that was the sin that did Jezebel in. Who you gonna tell when the repercussions spin? Showing off your ass, you thinking it's a trend, girlfriend. Let me break it down for you again. You know I only say it cause I'm truly genuine. Don't be a hard rock when you really are a gem, baby girl. Respect is just the minimum. Nigga, you still defending them now. Lauren is only human. Don't think I haven't been through the same predicament. Let it sit inside your head like a million women in Philly Penn. It's silly when girls sell their souls because it's sin. Look at where you be in. Hair weaves like Europeans. Fake nails done by Koreans. Come again. Doo-wop from Lauryn Hill's record, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, and we are talking about hip-hop as an educational tool with my guest Marcella Runel, the co-creator of the Hip-Hop Education Guidebook, and with our Soundcheck listeners. And we'd especially like to hear from anybody who's not in favor of hip-hop as an educational tool. We've got lots of callers on the line, and everybody is basically saying the same thing. If you have a different opinion, give us a call, 212-264-7483, 212-264-7483. 7483 or email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org. Marcella, there are lessons in the book that deal with some pretty tough stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. David was talking about how you can get to critical thinking about language arts and creative writing and stuff like that. All well and good, but, you know, there are lessons about sexual exploitation, prostitution, lots of other stuff. You got to be careful. You know, it's got to be grade appropriate, and, you know, you need to handle this stuff. You're putting a lot of trust, is what I'm saying, in your teacher's ability to bring this stuff to the classroom in an appropriate way.
Absolutely. We do expect that people who are going to engage this material have done the work with their students and with themselves in that they're willing and able to go there in the conversation. So, yes, that's true. I think there's also lessons that don't deal with such difficult subject matter. You know, there's lessons that are more straightforward that mm-hmm. talk about breakdancing and science and the muscular system, which are very fitting and age appropriate and, you know, certainly would pass the muster in terms of standards for schools.
So, all right, let's go back to the phones and Rodney joining us from Long Island City. Rodney, what do you think about hip hop as an educational tool?
I think it's a little bit absurd. I think that what we're doing is we're going down the wrong road.
Why is that?
I just feel that, you know, there's too much negativity involved in this music, and I have a son who's 19 years old, so it's not like I'm not around it or exposed to it. And I had an experience where I was on the beach in Coney Island, and there was like four teenage kids there. They were all black, and the rest of the people on the beach were white. And the language that these kids were using, I was so embarrassed that I had to approach these kids and ask them to be respectful. But, and all they're doing is learning and reinforcing bad behavior.
Of course, if that had been a group of white kids, they probably would have been using the same language, though. I mean, that language has been around for a long time. But you think the use of hip-hop is reinforcing a kind of stereotype?
I just feel that these kids who are in these inner cities, they need to, you know, just keep up with the rest of the population. I think it just reinforces that they are victims. And I think that these children need to just learn, they need to read. And the teacher who just called and just said something about using hip hop. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? Let's teach our teachers and make these children learn.
All right. Well, I think, Marcella, that's an interesting point that Rodney brings up. You want to get the kids to learn, and you do want to maintain as a teacher some control in the course of the lessons and stuff. How do you respond to the idea of reinforcing stereotypes and things like that?
Well, I think, Rodney, that's a really valid point, and certainly nobody from my end, in terms of the Hip Hop Association or people that are doing this work, believes that this should be, you know, continuing anything that's negative in terms of stereotypes or legacy. In fact, quite the opposite. The idea being that once we can put some light on some of the lyrics, we can put some light on some of the problems, that then we start to unpack it and critique it. And perhaps those same students, had they been in a class where the teacher had brought in some of those lyrics or they had the opportunity to explore it, perhaps they wouldn't have been acting in that way. Had they had the chance in a place where they could have gotten some guidance and some information, they might not have been reinforcing the negative behavior that you were seeing. I think that ignoring it, particularly in schools where we have the students' attention, is not going to be the answer.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there. But Marcella Runell, the book is called The Hip Hop Education Guidebook, Volume 1, an optimistic title. Does that mean there's a Volume 2 in the pipeline?
It's already in the works.
All right. Very good. Marcella, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon. And my thanks to all of our Soundcheck listeners who've called or written in. And hope you'll stay with us because we have something rather different coming up. Jean-Yves Thibaudet taps his inner opera diva with a new album of transcriptions of operas by Bellini, Puccini, and others. He joins us next. This is Soundcheck. We scream, box blows, we paw. See, now we smart. We ain't retards the way teachers start. Hold up, hold fast. We make